solves everything. A how-to-do show where Heather takes credit for making the world a better place by introducing you to people who actually are.
I used to think that I was a good person. Then I met these folks. Wow. Welcome back, everybody. You've made it to another episode of Heather Solves Everything, the show where I take credit for making the world a better place by introducing you to people who actually are. Now, guys, as we record this episode, my phone is still buzzing with updates from family and friends who are cleaning up in the wake of Hurricane Ida, which came ashore Louisiana's coast 16 years to the day of Hurricane Katrina. And as many of us recall, Katrina devastated the New Orleans region, in some places rendering it almost permanently uninhabitable. The social and economic factors of that reality stand side by side with the physical infrastructure of the buildings, the roads, and the bridges that have to withstand the powerful storms that we get in that area. And I remember driving through the rubble of Hurricane Katrina, seeing houses that had been demolished and wondering what the different scenarios could have been that may have made those structures stronger and given them a better chance of surviving the storm. Well, as we face issues like climate change, increasingly stronger tropical storms, sustainability issues in construction, and the ever-present elephant in the room of dignified, affordable housing, it can be overwhelming to figure out what to do about it. Well, guys, this is a problem-solving show, and today I have as my guest one powerhouse member of a team that has a really exciting solution to a lot of those problems. We're going to talk about innovations in building. We're going to talk about dignified, affordable housing and the power of collaboration when you let go of your ego and put your focus on the people who need your skills and expertise the most. Kendra Light, welcome to Heather Solves Everything.
Thank you so much for having me.
Kendra Light is the CEO of both Gulf Coast Additive Manufacturing and Design and Precision Building and Renovating. They specialize in the support and application of 3D printing in the construction field. She holds a master's degree in leadership and policy from Florida State University and a graduate certificate in additive manufacturing from MIT. In addition, she possesses multiple certifications in community development. She's got over 20 years of experience in executive strategy solutions. Can y'all hear a problem solver? She's been widely recognized for her work in education and community housing development and in the advancement of fair trade and environmental conservation practices in construction. So you can imagine why I am excited to have Kendra here. Kendra, are you ready to solve some problems?
Let's do it.
Let's get into it.
Here we go.
Okay, so I have one question to get us started off here. How exactly did you get a hold of a time machine and get us to the future? Because I have been to where you have a machine that prints a house. It looks like the biggest pastry, like frosting, what do they call it? A pastry bag that I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, if you guys have not seen this, you've got to go and Google this project that Kendra's about to tell us about. How did you get into 3D printing of houses?
Oh, wow. It's a long road. But it started some time back. My focus was always education and community development, as you had said. And my husband and I founded this construction company back in 2007, Precision Building and Renovating. When we founded it, he was the builder. He was the hands-on, the COO. I was just the one that was really good at running the books and making sure that, like, the emails were answered and everything was organized behind the scenes. So all the while, I was, you know, working in my passion work, which was I was at the Oasis Center for Women and Girls. I was working with single mothers and girls in schools. Our Girls Can Do Anything summer camp. And I I kept getting the same story time after time, which was, we're 1 month away from eviction and I'm working two or three jobs and I can't find a way to make ends meet. Can you figure out a way to get me utility assistance or food assistance? Because they were paying so much out of their income for rent that they couldn't afford their food or their transportation or basic needs. And I thought I would stay up, you know, night after night talking with James, and that's my husband, our COO. And I would say, you know, there's got to be something that we can do about this. This housing issue is crippling us as a community. And looking at all of the services that our community, the dollars and the effort and the time that we had to put into helping people that had already fallen off that eviction cliff versus if we had addressed it before. You know, at the time, the only help for single mothers was if you were already homeless or if you were diagnosed with AIDS, HIV. It was like this bizarre thing of like, we can't help you with housing unless you've got these things. And so, and as far as services and program and support. And so, so we were just up at night talking about this. And he's like, well, we kind of own this construction company and we could look into some different methods. And at the same time, this was about 5 years ago, at the same time, Houston was flooding. And we were watching all of these FEMA trailers go in and all of these homes were being devastated by water damage. And it was heartbreaking. And so at the same time that I'm talking about affordability, James is talking about durability mm-hmm. and resilience. And so we put our heads together and we started doing research. We started reaching out and talking to people that were doing alternative construction methods with things that were resistant to water and wind and fire, and looking at, you know, what that meant. And after a certain amount of time, we came upon 3D printing and construction. And at the time, it was, you know, it had been around for a while, actually, but it was just breaking out of kind of that beta phase. And we're still like really seeing a lot of that right now. But we started doing more research and got hooked. Mm-hmm. And now here we are. So we have just completed Florida's first residentially permitted 3D printed home. And we've completed the printing phase. We're finishing it off currently, actually. And it's a really exciting time.
Wow. I mean, to start from a conversation of where you see a need where, and the solution is really not adequate. It's a solution that waits for people to fail
right
before help is available. And happening to, you know, be connected with somebody who has the skills to build houses and knowing how to build houses, getting through the path of that conversation, seeing the need and identifying the solution to now having provided the solution. How does that feel?
It's really exciting. It's a little scary because, you know, I always refer back to that iceberg of success. You know, like you see the tip, but you never see everything that's underneath the surface. And it's been so much hard work and blood, sweat, tears, the whole works. But it's also been a really joyful and connective process. And so it just feels fantastic. We've had so much support.
Joyful and connective. Tell me more about that. What do you mean when you say that?
So when we started this journey 5 years ago, we started reaching out to other industry leaders, people who we would just start Googling and find. I mean, there at the time, you know, across the globe, there were five, you know, main global leaders that we could even connect with and talk to. And the industry was so young that we were able to talk to CEOs of major global companies, and they were so supportive and saying, hey, yeah, come on, travel and see us. And we'd be happy to share with you like some ideas. And it's just been such a wonderful journey in connecting with people. I have yet to come across a company in this process of additive manufacturing that has snubbed their noses at us or said, eh, we really don't, you know, one more looky-loo or anything like that. Everybody's been very helpful with check out this resource, check out that resource, you know, and it's actually even turned a bit, not turned, but it's come full circle in the sense that now we're getting contribute to the industry. And so we are now contributing our research and means and methods of like, hey, we did this house and here's what we experienced and here was some of our challenges. And we're recycling that back into the research. And now it's, you know, just become a really full circle supportive element. So, yeah.
That's incredible to know that there is an industry that is so collaborative and encouraging to each other. That's not something that you hear about very often in the business world.
Right, right.
It must be refreshing.
It is very refreshing. I think it's conclusive of what you see in disruptive technologies because of the fact that it's so new and everything has to be revamped. And so you really have to go straight to the drawing board on everything. And it's been exciting to see that, you know, everybody from the local building department to architects, engineers, material sciences, everything has to go straight back to, you know, let's rethink the box.
Rethinking the box. And in this case, we're rethinking a whole house. I can't wait to dive more into this conversation and share about how this happens and then how you can create the same type of synergy in your life. You're listening to Heather Solves Everything. It's Coach Healthy Heather. We'll be right back. Hey guys, it's Healthy Heather from Heather Solves Everything. I want to thank my sponsor, Kylene and Ryan Studios, a local husband and wife photography team who specialize in weddings and portraits of all kinds. Whatever special event you have coming up, they're your photographers for life. With a combined 32 years of professional photography experience, their unique perspectives shine through in every image you see. Find out more at KyleneandRyan.com. That's KyleneandRyan.com. Welcome back, everybody. This is Coach Healthy Heather. You're listening to Heather Solves Everything. It's a problem-solving show, and today we are solving the problem of affordable housing, dignified affordable housing, dignified affordable housing that can withstand a hurricane. My guest is Kendra Light. She is the CEO of Precision Building and Renovation and Gulf Coast Additive Manufacturing and Design, a company specializing in the support and application of 3D printing in the construction field. That is right. You heard me correct. A 3D printed house. Now, Kendra, I have a 3D printer at home. It's about the size of a microwave. And my husband uses it to make small, like, replacement parts for a watch wristband or little toys to amuse our children. And what I saw at your construction site was something completely different. It set the scene for us. When you show up at the site of a 3D printed home, what are we going to see there?
Right. So if you're showing up during the print phase, you can see one of two things. So, for example, the site that you showed up at, you're seeing an 18-foot tall gantry system that is running on an XYZ with a large robotic head that has a hose attached to it that's extruding concrete layer by layer.
For the non-technical people, that looks like a lot of scaffolding with a giant pastry bag.
Right. Very good description. So it's quite the sight to behold. It really does look very impressive when you're out there. The other option that you can see for additive manufacturing in the construction industry is the robotic arm. And that is kind of more of your machine that's wheeling in and it's printing sections at a time, or it's printing smaller homes or wall sections at a time. So, and that's, it's using an arm to do that.
So when I came to your construction site, the walls were about 3 feet, maybe 4 feet high.
Right.
And I was really enjoying watching the printing process because it kind of squirts out this, it looks like cement to me, mm-hmm. as if you are frosting a cake. And it goes around the whole perimeter, and then it comes and puts another layer on and another layer on. And so it looks like corrugated metal.
Right.
And I wonder, what is that made of?
Right. So the material that we used on this print was from a company. It's a material called Laticrete. It is a mortar-based cement mix. It is a Portland-based mix with additives in it that create a stronger, waterproof, more durable finish. It's also mechanically designed so that as one layer goes, it can dry enough to support the next layer, but not so much that it doesn't adhere to the next layer. So it's a very specially designed material.
How long does it take to print, say, like a 1,500 square foot house?
Right. So the house that we just completed was 1,440 square feet, and it was 25 hours of print time that we spread out over 9 days because of weather and a couple other challenges that we had with the first print. But it's 25 hours of print time. We usually do, as a standard, 2 feet per day, depending on how tall your wall is.
Okay. And so the house that was printed here in Tallahassee has a living room, and it has a kitchen, and it had a little office nook, mm-hmm. and a couple of bedrooms and a bathroom. I mean, it's a legit house.
Correct. A 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, fully permitted.
So, wow. I'm thinking about the time that it takes to construct a traditional home. Now, there's, and that's like 3 to 6 months longer, depending on the size of the house.
Right.
Now, I know there's more that goes into having the house be ready for somebody to move in. What's the process, the time from start to finish?
Right. So that's the beauty of 3D printing, is that once you're done printing the home, so what you saw was kind of a sausage layer effect of, mm-hmm. of layer by layer. That same printer actually now comes with an upgrade for a smoothing flap that gives you a smooth wall finish when you're printing. And so the beauty of that is that, for example, for this home, we would have to finish it with plaster stucco to kind of give you that smooth ergonomic design feel. For future homes, when we have that smooth wall finish, you're looking at a finished product. The wall system is finished. We're not cladding it with sheetrock or insulation or house wrap or siding. You're painting it and you're finished. And so a lot of people like to compare to stick-built construction because we have such a binary structure, but you really can't compare the two, because when you're done framing a home, you still have to wrap it with house wrap and put on your siding and then put in your insulation and put on your sheetrock, all elements of which are water soluble. And that all takes much more time, effort, money, and materials. So when you're looking at the 3D printed homes, when you're talking about a time frame from start to finish, we estimate that we can have these houses done in 2 to 3 months, depending on the level of finishing that people would like on their homes.
Wow. So not only is it time effective, it seems pretty cost effective too, because you don't have waste. You don't
right.
have the ends of the boards cut off and extra insulation and extra wrap. And
right.
you know, I can imagine that at a traditional construction site, there's a lot of stuff that gets put in the dumpster.
Right. So your standard construction site produces 8 tons of waste for new home construction in the dumpster that is on site. Our 3D print sites do not have a dumpster because it's not necessary. And there is no waste production in the process.
So waste disposal companies would be not in favor of 3D printed houses. But it's okay, because there are many other ways that they can do business. But I just had this idea of like a garbage man being like, boo, I don't like that.
I love it.
I need job security. But the 3D printed houses are more environmentally sustainable. And I wonder, can you tell us a little bit more about what about the house actually makes it better for the world?
Right. So currently, for first of all, there's less waste in the initial construction. Secondly, you have a much more energy efficient finished product. So everything is... you're talking about a fully wrapped concrete envelope. And we use ratings that are based on heat inertia versus R value. And so if you're in the building industry, R value is really popular in the States. Heat inertia ratings are really popular in Europe. And basically what that's saying is that once you get the temperature of the home to where you want it, it's going to stay there with much less energy input than your standard stick-built home. So while our R values may look very similar to stick-built construction, you're going to be saving a lot on energy. Secondly, we're not going to see any of the degradation issues due to wood rot, mold, wind and storm damage that you would see on a standard stick-built house. So therefore, you're saving materials over the lifespan of the home as far as, you know, remodeling, repairs, new construction, things like that.
When you were printing it, there inside the walls, they were hollow.
Right.
What's the purpose of that?
Right. So we do that for two reasons. One, because we have certain sections that are filled with rebar and structural grade concrete. Two, because we have the other sections, larger sections, where we put our electrical, and that's what we fill with a product called Aircrete. And we actually just finished that process on this home. It is concrete that has been pumped with air to the consistency of about shaving cream, and it fills those empty voids to create our insulation. That product is waterproof, bugproof, and fireproof. And so you're putting a product within the home that is going to remain there, but also provide the energy value for the home as well.
Okay, so I'm thinking about this process, and I'm wondering if somebody was wanting to just build one for themselves, how does that work? Could you hire a company to build you a 3D printed house? How much would it cost? What would that even be like?
Right.
So, I'm thinking like the Jetsons are going to show up and say, we're ready.
Well, you're not too far off. I was having a really interesting conversation with somebody once that was talking about just additive manufacturing in general and saying how most shipping companies will be out of business within the next 10 years because that 3D printer that you were talking about in your home, it'll print you a pair of shoes in the next 10 years versus, you know, your game pieces and things like that. So instead of going to the store to buy a pair of shoes, you're going to download the file from Nike and you're going to print yourself a new pair of shoes or whoever you like to use for shoes. I'm not advertising for Nike today. So when you're talking about your home, we're getting to that point. So once we've done this, you know, more times we have the workforce, we have more printers on stock, then we will be able to offer that as a service of, hey, you know, hire us, we'll come out and we'll 3D print your home just like any other contractor would stick build your home or block build your home. And we're really excited to vamp up to that level.
Wow. Guys, the future is now. So be thinking, where do you want your 3D printed house? Get your lot ready. Kendra can come out and get it started for you. We're going to dive into the collaboration process when we come back from our break. This is Coach Healthy Heather. You're listening to Heather Solves Everything. I'll be right back. Stay with us. Thank you to my sponsor, AK Social Strategies, a locally and women-owned business that provides social media and email marketing for small businesses. Every client feels the love when their social media is curated thoughtfully and personally, with purpose and intention. Social media is a business must-have, but it's time-consuming and ever-changing. Let AK Social Strategies take the wheel. Find them on Facebook. Just search for AK Social Strategies. Are you dancing? It's a good time to dance. Get ready. We're going to dance our way through a conversation about something that most people probably don't think of as a party, affordable housing, when people need a safe, affordable, dignified place to live. But hey, you know what? You can turn everything into a reason to celebrate. And we're celebrating today because Kendra Light is here with me today. We're talking about 3D printing houses. We're talking about helping people have safe and affordable places to live. And at the beginning of the show, I was reflecting on the recent Hurricane Ida. And my family living in coastal Louisiana and just the culture of tropical weather that we live with here in the South. And a relative who lives in the Northwest questioned on my Facebook page, why would anybody not evacuate? Why would you not leave and get out of danger? And through my explanation of the reasons why, I mean, for one, you know, sometimes it's harder to get back than it after the storm than it's worth. Sometimes if you're going to sustain damage to your house, you want to be there to be the one fixing it. Sometimes, you know, you can't get back to your house. Sometimes you'd just rather be miserable at home than miserable someplace else. But I also realized evacuating is not an easy undertaking. This can be an expensive process. And when you think about, well, I'll just, load up the car and find a hotel and get out of Dodge, that costs money and it requires transportation. Sometimes it requires family and other people who are going to help you. That requires some privilege. And helped me understand that housing and safe housing is not necessarily a given, and that there is a difference between affordable housing and dignified, safe, affordable housing. And Kendra, I'd like to hear from you today. I know this is a passion of yours, going back to when you were working with women who were struggling to make ends meet, and the wage gap that kept people from being able to keep their family safe and housed. Can you tell us a little bit about what that process was like working with those women and how you began to have a passion for affordable, dignified housing?
Right. So it was a slow process for me because, you know, with my background originally being education, I used to think if you were educated and you knew what to do, then there was no problem you couldn't solve, right?
Right.
And that was my privilege and where I was coming from in life. And it took me getting out in the real world and having experience and working with people to understand that that was not always the case.
Right.
And that, you know, having the basic tools to be able to even have the mind frame to have education. Really, when you look at it, education is the last thing that you're able to do. You can't think when you're hungry. You can't think when you're scared for your safety, your children's safety, and their health. And so really, it helped me to see that I couldn't address any of the issues that were happening in our single mother support group or with the girls in the schools or at our camps. I couldn't address any of those issues if they were constantly going home or not even going home, if they didn't have a home to go to, or if they were going to sleep in their car, or if they were going to a mold-infested place where they knew their asthma was going to act up the minute they got home. So many different scenarios that we would work through. And it made me sick to think that these women worked so hard and they just struggled so much just to have the basic needs that we all take for granted. And so that was kind of the beginning of it for me. And it really wasn't about, you know, we have this misconception when we say affordable housing. It's not just, there's not a barrier for that for our community, for just homeless people. It is so much more than that. So in Leon County alone, we're at almost 60% of our community living outside of their means when it comes to housing. That means they're spending more than 30% of their income on housing, severely cost burdened, spending more than 50% of their income on housing. That's unacceptable. That's our teachers, our firefighters. They are police officers. They're moving outside of Leon County because they don't have anywhere to live here. And that's, you know, that's not just Tallahassee. There's cities across the country that are dealing with this issue as well. So it's something that if we want to retain our workforce, if we want to retain our talent, from a business perspective, as a business owner, if I want to be able to recruit the people that I need for this innovative work that I'm trying to do, I need housing. It makes sense full circle from a business perspective for private business owners, but also for our public. You know, we're spending a lot of dollars in keeping people just kind of in survival mode. We're spending a lot of dollars on that. And I think we could spend a lot less if we were to load people with the resources that they need up front in order to make that leap or that step in either education or housing or just having that security in order to pull themselves out of survival mode and kind of make that next step where they need to be for their families.
Absolutely. Starting with safety.
Right.
You know, until you've got safety, food, shelter.
Right. You can't think about anything else.
You can't do anything else.
Right.
So I wonder, what are the barriers that we have to this? I mean, it's like so many things. You know, it makes sense on paper. Like, yes, this would be the perfect, obvious solution. But we know that the reality is that, you know, we have a lot of puzzle pieces in a community, in any community, that have to fit together in order to make something feasible. What types of barriers and challenges do we see in this process?
Right. So I can speak, you know, from my industry standpoint, we have a workforce barrier. We don't have enough tradespeople in the construction industry. We went through an entire generation that told everybody, if you don't go to college, you're worth nothing.
Right.
And so now we don't have any plumbers or electricians or anybody that's, you know, out there to do the work. And so, you know, I talk with people in our parents' generation, and they're the ones that are still training everybody. And I'm like, no, you can't retire yet.
Right.
Because we really need your knowledge. And so that is a significant barrier within our own industry is the workforce. And recently, of course, in the past couple of years, we've come across another significant supply chain barrier, mm-hmm. With wood being as scarce as it is, and even things from copper to electrical boxes. You know, it's like the strangest things that you're like, oh, there's a 6-month wait time on that. Well, that's just something we're going to have to work on. But when you have those shortages from workforce to supply, it translates into only the best or the largest profit margin of homes being built
right.
by builders. And so when you slink down to those smaller profit margin homes, which is, you know, our affordable housing, our workforce housing supply, they're not going to even bother with it because mm-hmm. the margins just aren't there right now. And so, you know, I get it, but it's something that I think, you know, like you're saying, through collaboration, we could come up with some solutions for.
Yeah. It's that overlap of the practical business element of service,
right.
Of really serving others and caring and really being a partner with people in their lives. And it does take money, and it takes collaboration, and you know, it takes collaboration of a lot of type A personalities.
Right.
What type of collaboration has been necessary for you in this project?
So, wow, it's been so many different things. One of the most important relationships that we developed was with the city of Tallahassee. And that was everything from working with growth management to approve the first ever permitted home in Florida. And that's getting our engineers and our architects on board to be able to work with them and answer all the questions and go through the entire process to the funding arm for the project. So this project is certified affordable housing with the city of Tallahassee. We used the city of Tallahassee's Affordable Construction Builder Loan Program, which gives builders, local builders in Tallahassee, access to up to $175,000 line of credit at half rate if they're willing to construct homes that are certified as affordable housing. So we are partaking in that program. There's a couple other builders across the community that are partaking in that. And it's just a wonderful resource that the city is providing to kind of answer some of those solutions that I was, or those problems that I was talking about before.
It must have taken some bravery for people to step a little bit outside of their business comfort zone to expand the thinking into how can we truly help people while also running a business.
Right. I have to admit, it was a little bit selfish on my part because I look at the full circle of it and I say, as a business owner, if I don't have a workforce, we're not going to be successful in our mission. And so I want people to move to Tallahassee and grow and thrive here because I want the workforce. But they're not going to do that if they don't have housing. So
you might call it selfish. I call it holistic.
Right.
You're looking at the big picture. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about some ways that we can get holistic. We're going to talk about the power of collaboration and how we can get our ego out of the room so that we can get down to the real stuff. You're listening to Heather Solves Everything. I'm Coach Healthy Heather, and I'll be right back. Stay with us.
So
Hey guys, it's Healthy Heather from Heather Solves Everything. I want to thank my sponsor, Kylene and Ryan Studios, a local husband and wife photography team who specialize in weddings and portraits of all kinds. Whatever special event you have coming up, they're your photographers for life. With a combined 32 years of professional photography experience, their unique perspectives shine through in every image you see. Find out more at KyleneandRyan.com. That's KyleneandRyan.com.
I need love, love.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Coach Healthy Heather. You're listening to Heather Solves Everything. I'm here with my friend Kendra Light. She is the CEO of Gulf Coast Additive Manufacturing and Design. That sounds like it's super high tech. Guess what? It is. It's a company specializing in the support and application of 3D printing in the construction field. We've been talking about making 3D printed houses and how that can solve some of the affordable housing gaps that we have in our community. And sometimes when it comes to solving problems, getting the conversation started is the easy part. But then when you start talking about solutions, it seems like it kind of turns into a poker game. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you know that other people in the community are working on the same type of thing that you are? And when it's a good thing that's going to help a lot of people, you should be working together, but you get territorial. You don't want to reveal how much money you really have to work with or what your deficiencies are or what you plan to do next. Sometimes there's alliances. Sometimes there's previous agreements, politics at play. And at some point, there's somebody who says, guys, if we could just put all of this aside, we could really do something amazing. I wonder, do you hear yourself in that scenario? Or do you have that in your life right now? That's your ego. We all have it. We all have that protective voice that tries to get that validation that this was my idea and look what I did. But it holds us back. We can let go of our ego. We can embrace the vulnerability of true collaboration. I'm going to share with you how to do it. Get ready. I'm going to get coachy on you. I remember being in a job where somebody said, it's amazing what can get done when you don't care who gets the credit. And I also remember being in a job where I realized that I had everything that I needed in my life to be happy. And I didn't need to be right about anything ever again. And it made it so much more fun to really collaborate with people because I was good. I didn't need anybody to be impressed by me because I already had the vote of confidence of the people who were important to me. And that's when I really started to learn about ego and how it can hold us back. And I wonder, have you ever been jealous of someone who has achieved success that you haven't gotten to yet? Have you felt like you have to be in control of a project in order for it to succeed? Are you worried that if nobody knows what you contributed, it doesn't really count or that somehow you lost? Your ego can get in the way big time of being able to solve the real problems in life, like the ones that Kendra and her team are solving. Kendra, can you tell us about how you were able to let go of your ego and others didn't have an ego when it came into the process of uncharted territory in the construction field?
Right. So it's been interesting because as a woman in the construction industry, we're not allowed to have any ego, right, first mm-hmm. to start off with. It's really interesting because when you do come across that, in the very beginning when we started presenting this idea, it was, oh, well, you can't do that because of this. And so I would always counter that with, I hear you. give me a list of what you need in order to make this successful. And so that was everybody from engineering, architecture, you know, building departments, material sciences, whatever it was going to take. And so I would always try to flip the narrative of don't give me the negatives, you know, just give me what you need me to do and I'll set out and I'll try to make it happen. And so that way I constantly had a list of things that I could work on in order to bring people to the table or to, you know, make the project successful. So that's how I got started. And in that process, you know, it just became about building relationships. And, you know, through the 5 years of research and development that we've done in additive manufacturing and construction, and then even the practice of it, we've been able to build some amazing relationships with people. And it's just been such a collaborative effort. And that is the kind of the energy of the additive manufacturing field, is that none of us are going to get anything done if we are all trying to hold our cards so close. We can only do this by working together. So I've worked with some companies that have even started design libraries where, you know, and this is not to throw any shade toward an architect or an engineer, like I completely value their licensure, but they've started design libraries where, for example, there was a restroom that was built in Japan with a 3D printer, and it was a public restroom space that was built in Japan, and they put it in the design library. Now anybody can download that file and, you know, get it approved for their local jurisdictions. And so it's just this really cool collaborative community that's gone global, and it's really exciting.
That is exciting. And what I love is that is taking my first tip and putting into practice. Look for win-wins.
Right.
I love how it's looking for how can I take what I do well and compare and pair it, not compare, we're not comparing, pair it with what somebody else does well and turn it into a collaborative process. And a big part of that is celebrating and appreciating the successes of others. I challenge you guys, write down 5 people that you see as competition in life, and then write down what you are happy about for them. What do you admire about them? What are you really glad happened for them? What can you learn from them? And I love how you asked, tell me what you need, so that you turn it into a task-oriented project rather than a justification project or a validation project. And so being able to identify, here's an opportunity and here's a barrier, how can we systematically break this down so that we can be beneficial to each other?
Right.
Looking for win-wins and celebrating the successes of others. Now, I'll be honest, guys, I'm human just like y'all, and I get jealous when somebody gets to the finish line before I do, especially when it's on something that is really meaningful to me. And there were a few years ago, I created a mantra that has helped me get beyond that. And that's my second tip, is to create a mantra for yourself when you notice that ego is building up. For me, it's turned jealousy into joy, and truly finding happiness for the person that I was just envious about, because we can't move anywhere while we've got that block, that negative energy block in front of us. And I remember thinking, turn jealousy into joy, jealousy into joy. And it opens yourself up to the possibility that you can also do the same things. And what it also helps you do is to see what are they doing that I can learn from so that I can also experience this joyful moment that they have. And so that's tip number 2. Create a mantra for yourself for those times when the green monster shows up. Turn jealousy into joy. And a way that we can always stay centered when we start feeling territorial, or we start feeling like we are going to, that it only is valid if we come out in the front, is to remember that relationship between abundance and scarcity. When we are feeling panicked, when we're feeling territorial, it's because we're coming from a place of scarcity where there's not enough for everybody. There's not enough resources. There's not enough creativity. There's not enough credit. And instead, turning towards a place of abundance, we have everything that we need to be successful. We have everything that we need to be validated. And we don't need to for anybody else to be impressed by what we do as long as the purpose of our work is towards helping others to be able to have their basic needs met. Kendra, I know you before said that when somebody would have something great happen and you were jealous, you would open up the phone and say, hey, tell me how you did that. I want to do that too. And that experience is exactly what we're getting at today. Thank you for sharing with us about this amazing project and coming in and telling us about the ins and the outs and how you overcame the obstacles to make it all happen. Thanks for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Tune in next week on Real Talk 93.3 at 1 p.m. for a new episode of Heather Solves Everything. You can check the podcast edition of today's show on your favorite podcast app on Monday morning. And do you have a problem to solve? Visit me at CoachHealthyHeather.com. Click on Solve My Problems. We'll get it done together. To find out more about Kendra and her team, visit RethinkConstruction.com. I'm Healthy Heather, and I'm always here to help you solve everything.
Status confirmed. This problem is solved.
Well, that's it for this week, guys. We did it. We solved another problem with a little help from our friends. You can be a superhero, too. Check us out online. That's where all the information is about how you can jump in and start solving everything.
Heather solves everything with a little help from everyday heroes.